Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello, and welcome to the MSC podcast. The mood wasn't great last week when we recorded. It's slightly worse tonight. I'm joined by Andy Scott, Andy Patterson and Scott McClure to look back on the 1-0 defeat against Hamilton. We'll look ahead to Thursday night's European tie with Glentoran and Sunday's league fixture against Celtic. We'll also discuss the future of David Turnbull and what effects the transfer fee may have on the club. Guys, welcome along.
Thanks for having us.
Andy P, I'll start with yourself, and we'll look back on Saturday's defeat to Hamilton. For the most part, it was just muddled possession without really posing much of a threat in Naki's goal. It almost felt inevitable that the sucker punch was going to come, and it did. Stephen Robinson made a change that, and removing Alan Campbell, that really disrupted the rhythm of the team, and we paid a hefty price. Another defeat, another game without scoring a goal. Maybe too early for panic buttons, but this certainly hasn't been a good start to the season.
No, obviously, quite a deflating outcome on Saturday there. I have to say, I quite enjoyed for about an hour or so the performance. I thought it was very much in keeping with the display at Easter Roads. A lot of good things there. A lot of possession, and I would disagree with some people that said it was possession for kind of possession's sake. I thought it was patient. I thought it was decent build-up, but where perhaps we maybe missed a runner on two or three occasions that might have opened up Aki's a wee bit more, and that was the thing that we suffered yet again, that inability to carve out and clear-cut chances. And when chances did come our way, we didn't take them. But I thought for the best part of an hour, it was a pretty decent performance, and I felt sooner or later we had to get the goal. But you kind of reach that point, unfortunately, where you do get to the stage where the ideas begin to run out, and it is then a case of just passing around and hoping something falls for you, hoping somebody else is going to be prepared to take the initiative and create something. The substitutions didn't really work for us. Lang didn't have as an effective a game as he did at Easter Road. But Hilton offered even less when he came on. The main, as you alluded to, the substitutions there. Now, I'm pretty sure that the game at New Year, Christmas, was in Stephen Robinson's thoughts. If you recollect that afternoon as well, it was a similarly dominant Motherwell display for however long in the game, and gradually, as it wore on in the second half, it ebbed further and further away from us. His response that day was to try and go defensively and shore things up, and I think he thought, well, that didn't work that occasion. What I'll try and do is try and re-grab the initiative from Aki's, because, of course, we've seen that they had one or two wee kind of chances themselves by that point, and as you said, it just kind of didn't work. It didn't. The balance didn't feel right, the players didn't get involved in it, and it just went from kind of bad to worse. It was inevitable, as you say, the goal, whenever it arrived, and we just didn't look likely to equalise at that point. And we've seen this, it's frustrating because we've seen this script so many times. Like that game in December for one, there was another Christmas one, the one where Dougie Imrie was putting his arse by Hartley. It was a similar game where we had the lead on it. There's been another couple of games after the cup final, the first derby after that we pummeled them for so long, ran out of ideas and get suckered, as well. So it's frustrating that we don't seem to be learning from these things, or in the face of it, we don't seem to be learning from it, and the same script gets repeated time and time again. So it kind of left a sour taste. I think there was a lot of people hopeful that after the display at Easter Road, we would turn things around to a certain extent, and this was the perfect opportunity. And at the end of it, having another home fixture that's gone by against one of the teams that you would expect you should be beating at home, then you do begin to look at that fixture list, look at Celtic away, look at our win record, and think, this is becoming a wee bit of a problem here.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Andy, I think Andy covered a lot of Saturday's game there. And one thing we have noticed in the early parts of the season is teams are coming to Fir Park and sitting in. They're inviting us onto them and kind of forcing us to have the initiative to break them down. Thus far, we've not really demonstrated that we've got that nous and that bit of spark in the final third of the park to punish teams. We've got a bit of a raft of striking options, but none of them have scored a goal yet this season.
Yeah, definitely. And to make things worse, it looks like Turnbull will be going to Celtic at some point this week. And I think especially at the game against Ackies, he was our go-to player. He sort of had the roaming midfielder role. If anything was going to happen attacking-wise, it was going to be through him. So if we're losing him potentially, and as you alluded to there, the strikers haven't scored a goal between them all season. It doesn't look great. And I've got a stat here that I lifted from Twitter. Only 20.6% of your shots have hit the target this season. And that is the lowest of any team. And I know, as what you alluded to there, we're not used to teams coming to Fir Park and just sort of sitting back. It's something that you'd expect teams to set up against Celtic and Rangers. And it is something that we have struggled with. And again, it'll be a real test for Robinson to try and turn this round. And I think he still doesn't really know he's starting 11 in terms of the strike force. He's dropped long for the past two games. I think he's been really disappointing since he came back. Going on his previous interviews, I think he might have been alluding to maybe Long's maybe hoping to get a move elsewhere. That's not happened. He's came back. And he's not really hit the form that he was on before lockdown, which is a bit concerning. Long, I think, attacking-wise, he looked really good. I thought he played decent against the Ross County, a bit of a stupid red card to concede. But I do think he is one for the future. White, again, a bit unlucky with the two goals that was denied. I think he is probably one that will kick on. At least he has hit the net, albeit they haven't stood. Also calls for Tony Watt on the Motherwell Twitter. I know he wasn't 100% throughout the week, but I don't know if it's just a case of throwing him in. I think you sort of need to get him more appearances off the bench, and then you sort of go from there. But again, it is quite concerning going forward, but hopefully we can put it right on Thursday night.
Scott, there was a bit of attention thrust towards the manager after Saturday's defeat. The league table of 2020 shows that Motherwell are below Hamilton now in terms of points picked up. One win in the last 13 league matches. I know that stats can be used to back up any argument, but these figures are quite startling and beginning to get quite concerning as well. It almost feels like teams have kind of sussed out Motherwell in recent times, and as a result, our form has really suffered.
No, certainly. I think the two Andys here have been quite complimentary, because I think the start of the season has been nothing sort of, only word that I can describe is utter shite. It's been dire to watch. Andy P initially said that he enjoyed some of the game. I didn't enjoy any of the Ackies game. I actually found myself getting kind of straying away and checking my phone. I just think it's been a pitiful start. That being said, I'm not one for saying that I've seen people getting on Robinson's back and saying get him out or whatever. Or we've got, again, coming up with stats about our performance in 2020. But at the end of the day, we finished third last season. It wasn't that long ago that we were positive about the signings he had made. I'm certainly not pressing the panic button, however.
how long we can sustain this lack of cutting edge, I really don't know. I think the main issue is that we're trying to play strikers and to fit in a system that they aren't naturally suited to play. It seems to be that long's been played out wide, whereas I think its natural position would be if you're playing white and long, him playing off a white, or what, playing just a change of shape. It was almost as if it's got to the stage where when we played the 3-5-2 and the team sussed us out, and then we had this dramatic kind of change and everything seemed to go in our favour. I don't know what he does, but I think we've just got to change because we've seemed to be, as you say, sussed out, playing long and lang with Jordan White through the middle just isn't working. And Seedorf, I mean, Seedorf's done all right, but until it gets to when it's crucial, until it gets where he's in front of goal or where he has to put in a great cross, he's had a couple of good crosses, but his final ball and his finishing for me just isn't good enough, and I'm not even going to start in Jermaine Hilton because he just looks as if he's not interested anymore, as if he's just going to see out his year. It's even got to the stage now, but obviously I watched the game on Thursday and I'm still bitter for it for the start of the season, but I'm not as looking forward to this game, and it should be the kind of highlight. We've not been in Europe for a good number of years, and if I'm saying that, how many other fans are feeling the same? I just think there's got to be a drastic change, and for the life of me, I don't know what that is at the moment.
Andy P, you mentioned Jermaine Hilton, and Scott's obviously kind of reinforced that argument there. I don't think it's off to say that Jermaine Hilton's attitude in these early stages of the season has been absolutely shocking. He's coming off the bench and genuinely looks like he's barely interested in being there. Stephen Robinson has got a real task in kicking some arses in that dressing room. He's already mentioned that he's been really disappointed with the attitudes of some players. And some of these guys are coming on and just really demonstrating everything that the manager is pulling his hair out about. Hilton especially, and Saturday, there's no excuses for that. The fact is that he worked hard and looked to have established himself as a very decent Scottish Premiership player. I can't believe for the life of me that he's been that much backwards since March. It's concerning because I don't know whether it's something that's sneaking into the dressing room at the club. I think there's too many big characters for that to happen, but to come on and demonstrate that sort of attitude is just so disappointing.
I don't know about attitude. I'm no there. I'm no seeing training. I can't really say, to be perfectly honest, whether attitude's an issue. There's you get an idea of what your perception from the demeanour of the person. Now, Chris Long's a perfect example of it. I think if Chris Long had a slid along the turf, front of the East Stand, kissing the badge, bumping his fists, whatever, then the perception of him might be a whole lot different than what it was, be kind of looking quite sulky and having his own kind of private celebration whenever he scored and being a bit huffy whenever he missed a chance or what have you. And kind of Hilton's kind of getting dragged in to the same sort of idea. Now, I'm not seeing anything massively different for the two of these guys, to be perfectly honest, from what I'm seeing, what I saw last season from them. I just don't think they're being anywhere near as good as they possibly can be. Hilton, much like Motherwell, you might argue, has been found out to a certain extent, in the same way that a lot of players in the past, in the same way as you might argue Jake Hastie has been found out whenever he had his purple patch. Now, Hilton's very much of the same ilk, where he came in, he was unknown, he had that element of trickery, wee bit of devilment about him, but teams quickly realise you put two defenders on him, he can't do the wee fancy, you know, jig and skip through two defenders every time. But he does try it practically every time. So there is that element more so, I think, that people know what Jermaine Hilton's largely going to do whenever he's approaching the kind of edge of the box. We kind of know the runs that Chris Long is going to make. We know that Jake Hasty is going to try and cut inside and shoot. I think it's just the case that these players have been found out. So it's now up to them. It's now up to the management to find different ways of overcoming those issues, whether they adapt what they do, whether there's more variation involved in their game, whether they try different wings and try and do it. I don't know, but I don't know so much if I can, I don't know enough about it to plant an attitude issue on those two players in particular. The manager's more qualified to do that than any of us sitting in the stand or sitting in the living room as it is this season.
At the same time, Andy, though, you can still form an opinion of the way that his body language is when he's coming on.
Absolutely, and I said that already, but I don't know. I can't say for certain that his attitude's wrong. I don't know. I don't see training. He could go there and run his arse out, flog his arse out all week. But because it doesn't matter, because his style of play is that kind of language style, that lazy, kind of take the ball, drag it on, look to try and beat a defender rather than someone who fires the ball ahead of them 15 yards and screams past the defender and put a cross in. There's all sorts of things about the in terms of attitude of players. I mean, you can go back and see the type of players like... we all know the type of players that they start running whenever the ball's just about to go out of play, because it makes it look as if I'm giving 100%. You know, I've absolutely no chance of doing it, but it creates that sign in somebody's head. But it's kind of on, they're not going to get it. You know, but I don't know about attitude. I don't see enough to see whether he can label that there's an attitude issue. Certainly it's not working for them, they're not delivering what they should be. That much I can say with some assurance.
You would think, Andy, with the selection headaches that the manager's got, you would like to think that those that are not starting games would be basically doing everything they can to ensure that they can work their way back into the team. So that for me is where I kind of question the attitude. The fact that he's coming on and it looks pretty disinterested. He's not showing for the ball and taking on his man the way that he did last season. Maybe it is a confidence thing and maybe it's got nothing to do with attitude. But that being said, that the drop off in performance level definitely has to be noted as a concern.
Oh, definitely. And I think Robbo sort of said in his previous interview that the type of people in terms of attitude that these players should be looking towards is Alan Campbell. He got dropped for the first game of the season. And in his words, he said there was no issue. It just sort of got on and got on with it in training. Came back in the next game. And then for the next two games, I believe he said he was the best player on the pitch for Murdoch. And you just get the impression that, and certainly in Hilton's case, that he's not doing that at training. Again, like Andy P, I don't know, I don't see training, but it doesn't sort of strike me as the type of guy that will give 110%. I think in Hasty's case, that might just be a confidence issue. Again, as Andy P pointed out earlier on, I think he has been a bit found out. He's didn't really have the best of starts, if my mind cast me correctly. Against Ross County, he was up against, I think he was like 18, or it won't be that far off. He was a debutant for Ross County, and I don't think he got by him once all game. I think that first game would have been massive for him, and see since then, he's not sort of reached my resolve him. And I think that could be the case of Hilton as well, which is very concerning. Only winger I can sort of see is trying. No issue with the work rate, but he's good at going forward as Seedorf, and he's someone that I'll leave from this conversation in terms of the attitude or the expectations.
Scott, in terms of players that are certainly applying themselves, David Turnbull is very much our go-to throughout games. We're constantly looking for the pass to David Turnbull, perhaps overplaying or over-emphasising David Turnbull's role in the team, because he's quite often having to come deep and then he'll lay the ball on and straight away we're looking to find him again with the next pass. So a lot of onus in David Turnbull. He's the player that looks most likely to get a shot away as well. I thought on Saturday our strikers were very, very shot shy. For all intents and purposes though, it looks like he's going to be departing the football club. Talked that the negotiations are at an advanced stage with Celtic just now. The transfer fee will be a massive lift to the football club, but the loss of David Turnbull will also be very, very significant. I wonder whether, in his mind just now, he's thinking that given the struggles with the team, there's maybe no better time to get out. And I suppose if you start playing in a losing team, you can maybe stagnate somewhat as well, and that over-reliance maybe will put his performances under even more scrutiny than they already are. It's going to be incredibly disappointing to see Turnbull leave the football club, but at the same time, he has done right by the club in signing an extended contract that ensures that we'll get a very healthy transfer fee for him. His contribution when wearing claret and amber has been second to none, so the time was always going to come. It's just hard facing up to the fact that that time looks to be now.
Certainly we need him, but at the end of the day, we're a sailing club and we're aware of that, and as you've already highlighted, he has conducted himself great. I don't think that I would feel as disappointed if he was going down south to a Premier League club. I just think there's a kind of bitter taste just because he's going to be going to Celtic. I think that is just part and parcel of moving to one of the two Old Firm. But if you compare the way that he's conducted himself to the likes of Stephen Pearson, who's obviously come back and done well, Scott McDonald, as you said, he signed the contract and he's tried to do his best. His performances up until this week have been great, not as good as what they were his first season, and that's probably down to the way that the team are playing. But I mean, he's put himself a bit there. A lot of the time that you're saying that we're maybe looking for the pass to him, but some of the times it's just because he's the one that's moving a bit and looking for it more than anybody else, and that shows his commitment and his desire. And can we blame him for wanting to go and play at a bigger stage? Of course we can. It's just going to be really difficult to go back. But let's not forget that when last season, David Turnbull didn't play much at all, but half a game or something like that, and we managed all right. I spoke to you just shortly before we come on here, and I said, obviously we know that we spoke about me having kind of connections with Liverpool, and when Liverpool lost Coutinho, and I'm not comparing Coutinho and Turnbull, Liverpool fans thought, well, that's it, we'll never mount a challenge for the league. But look at what it did to the team. I just hope that if we do get the fee, that we invest in it properly. We look at the areas that's needing strengthened, and if there's kind of players that aren't going to be cutting it, they get moved on. If we're going to get $3 million, I mean, the mad thing is we can't really afford to sign another striker because we've got that many. They're just misfiring. It looks inevitable he's going to be going, but for me, he goes with my best wishes. Just hope he doesn't sign before Sunday and come on and score a world day against us.
Andy P, that's the nightmare scenario, isn't it? That this deal looks like it may be done on the week that Motherwell travel to Celtic Park. That would be a really bitter pill to swallow, to lose your talisman and then come up against them, particularly given our situation and our start to the season where we're scrambling about for points and going to the home of the champions. That would make it an even more daunting task.
Yeah, it certainly would. I don't quite know how that would go, whether they would play him, whether there'd be some sort of gentleman's agreement almost that you can do that. They seem to have been quite close in terms of their kind of collaboration right the way through from before the kind of first deal fell down. I think their physio was involved in it somewhere along the line, checking progress and stuff as well, if I remember rightly from the kind of documentary or reading reports, or picked that up from somewhere certainly. So you know, there seems to have been a kind of mutual interest, if you want to call it that, between the two clubs. I would hope that something in there that will a kind of gentleman's agreement that will maybe, you know, leave them off the kind of team lines at the weekend, and you know thereafter it's another 5, 6, 7 weeks down the season again before we'll cross paths with them.
Andy, would you be booing him from your couch?
I wouldn't, although I'm not half keen on my mother to play a goat in either one of the old firm. But the way he has conducted, as we've talked about, in terms of signing that new contract, it's to be not applauded, but it's noted. And if he does go to Celtic, although I would much rather he never, he will be going with my best wishes. And I do hope that he doesn't come on should the deal be done before Sunday. But again, that these type of things just sort of happen to us. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
I think he's the type of guy though that probably tip out of the back of his mind and would be the type that would say, look, I'm all signed, but I don't think it's right that I make my debut against the team that's really brought me there. Maybe I'm being a bit naive, I don't know, but just the way that he seems to be, it wouldn't surprise me, and it'll never come out, but I just think he would feel probably a wee bit uncomfortable his first game against us, and I don't know. I just don't think that. I think I agree with what Andy had said there. I think there will be some sort of gentleman's agreement, and I think he'll be pivotal to that. I think he'll be quite happy that he won't make his debut against us.
Hey, how does the offer of free beer sound to you? Yes, free beer. Thanks to our friends at beer52.com, you have the opportunity to sip 8 free exclusive craft beers from around the world. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/MFC, pay the postage, and what's more, you'll get 2 extra free beers, so that's a total of 10 free beers. beer52.com/MFC.
Scott, what about in terms of the transfer fee? I know that we're a fan-owned football club with costs, and obviously I've experienced a difficult time, as all football clubs have, in terms of the effect of COVID-19 and not having fans in the stadium and such like. Obviously, the cost of getting football back up and running has hit every club. Do you think we'll see any of that money being reinvested in the playing squad? Stephen obviously did a lot of his business early in the transfer window, but that being said, there's a couple of months left of the window. The team haven't got off to a good start. And another thing that's been cast up, I was reading the thread in Steelman Online, where Martin Foyle, who's been really praised to the hilt for his recruitment during his time at Fir Park, coming under scrutiny for some of his signings and whether they have been as good as people have made out, and whether Robinson's eye for a player is as good as has been made out as well. So there's kind of two sides to it. So the first question is, do you think we'll see any of that money? And the second one is, would you trust Stephen Robinson to spend that money properly?
I think I think we've got to see some of the money. I think you've got to... The thing that would concern me ever so slightly is that if we go and try and buy a player, the club then holds us to an ansom straight away and say, oh, they've just got £3 million. See, they've been 50 grand, we want 100 grand. That's one kind of negative of getting it. But at the end of the day, if it's a free agent or whatever that we go and get, we might just be able to push the boat out to get somebody in. I suppose people are putting two and two together and saying, oh, maybe we'll get Lee Griffiths in loan. But I think we've got to see it. Now, if you had said to us at the start of the season, would I trust Steve Robinson with money and Martin Foyle? Of course I would. And I still would. At the end of the day, we've had 4 games at the start of the season, and it's just typical football that everything's amazing and great when we're on a wee running streak and let's get the manager on a new contract. And it's so easy to... one game can make that massive difference. I think... Let's be honest, we've never probably had... I mean, this is going to be nearly double our record fee for when Phil O'Donnell left. I just can't see how we couldn't trust the management with that. I don't think there's any other option. The thing is, we've got that many... We've got a really big squad. When you look at the substitute bench, it's going to be players that are going to be sitting there getting a wage for absolutely nothing. But I think it's going to be that if this continues, needs must at the end of the day. at the end of the day, as I said, I can't see a player in that team that's going to, particularly with Turnbull going away, that's going to score double figures. Long looks off the pace, as we've already discussed, and I think it's really, really important that we get that sorted. Whether it's that we need to go and pay a loan deal, that might be the way forward, and that might be where the money's used, what could be potentially most wisely. A decent either prospect or somebody who isn't getting a game at a club down south. So I think that's where the money has, I think that has to be at the end of the day. If it continues like this, and we're only four games in, but if it's another four games in and we're still no scoring goals and we've got that $3 million in the bank, I think the club would come under an amazing amount of pressure from fans. Considering that we are all renewed our season tickets, fans have bought the cardboard cutouts, have tried everything that we can to support. We've not, well, I personally never claimed the money back. I think the fans would then look at the club to see, right, we've had a good season last season, but that's in the past. Let's get this shaken up a wee bit while we've still got the opportunity to get players in.
Andy P, it's quite amazing how things can turn around, isn't it? You go into the season and you're terrified at the prospect of Stephen Robinson taking up the position as Northern Ireland manager. And now just 3.5 weeks into the season, 4 weeks into the season just now, isn't it? We're suddenly contemplating losing the manager or dispensing with the manager. And there's, I would say, kind of fairly serious debate over the weekend. I think it's pretty ludicrous, to be honest with you. I think, given that Robinson has initially turned it round enough to keep Mark McGee's team in the league, the second season, his first full season, taking the club to two cup finals, on the brink of the top six the following season, and then a third place finish. It's pretty ludicrous to then go after five games of the season. We need this wholesale change and the drastic change of changing the manager, particularly when it's at a time where I can't see any natural successor. I think we've all kind of believed that it would be the case that, depending on obviously how things end for Stephen Robinson, the natural successor would be Keith Lasley and perhaps someone on the coaching staff, like a Maurice Ross type figure, coming in as a replacement. I think to do something like that just now, it would seem a bit desperate. It would seem like a real challenge for guys like Lasley and Maurice Ross, who undoubtedly are very good coaches, but are they ready to take up the role of top team manager at this point in time? I don't know. We'll never know unless we try it. But I just think to get rid of a manager who has enjoyed so much success during his time with Motherwell at this moment in time. And I don't think in any way it's like a Stuart McCall scenario, as I saw described in Pie and Bovril. I don't think Stephen Robinson strikes me as a manager that has lost his passion or his belief in his own ability. I still think that Stephen Robinson believes he can turn this situation around. And I think for that reason, we've got to afford them the time.
Yeah, I think there's two separate discussions in there. Well, there is and there isn't. There's the discussion that is being had amongst supporters. Should he go? Should he stay? Now, every manager is going to have his critics, and Robinson's going to be no different. There are people that will never go over the perceived style of play that we had, particularly in the season after the cup win. I think we quite enjoyed, quite secretly, a lot of the kind of nasty Motherwell, dirty Motherwell kind of headlines, because it kind of, you get your siege mentality, and that worked for us for so long. But as it's already been said just earlier on tonight, it has a shelf life, that particular style, and he moved on from that. But there's a lot of people still hold that against him. Again, as being said, there are people that believe that he's not been successful in terms of transfers. Specifically, I've read a few people criticise him for an inability to sign a proven goal scorer. Now, that's another point. But in terms of that, even in the goals just now, if you take a look at the league table, nobody's really putting away loads of goals. I think like, the Rangers are top or something. I think they've only scored like 9 goals in their 5 games. It's not a massive amount. You know, there's loads of teams in there that sit and they've only scored a couple of goals at home, the same as ourselves. Granted, we haven't scored an away goal yet, but you know, it's ones and twos and threes, and we're in the same kind of ballpark as other teams. So while there is justifiable criticism about our lack of goals this season, you know, we're not massively dissimilar from a lot of teams. But there are these things that once you have a supporter that's kind of turned against the manager for whatever reason, it can sometimes be very difficult to win them back. And it is just the case of they get kicked into long grass for a wee while when things are all rosy. And we all know the kind of guys that are there, like, you know, 4:46 Saturday, and you know who you're going to read, you know who the tweets are going to be from, and what the content of those tweets and posts are going to be in forums. And you know, these guys emerge whenever things aren't going well, and those are the kind of, you know, the people that the debate stems from as to whether it should stay or go. In terms of what the club will do, I rather suspect it's what you've said already. They're going to look back at someone that's saved the club from relegation, that gave them a safe, comfortable finish the following season. I think we were 7th after that. You had 2 cup finals. The following season, despite the fact it didn't go particularly well in the opening half of the season, we still ended up something like about 21 points clear of relegation concerns. It was a comfortable 7th or 8th finish. We had the momentum carried on last season, and we had the strong finish. We've qualified for Europe again. And again, as we've said, we've seen the kind of progression from the team that was a bit more rugged to a team that was fairly brutal but didn't really work, was then scrapped, and we went for the kind of 4-3-3, you know, with the single striker and the two wingers. That's worked for a certain extent, and I think he'll remodel things again. He has the benefit this time. One of his criticisms levied at him was that he was lucky in terms of bringing the likes of Hasty and Turnbull into the team. His argument I've seen stated is he didn't believe that they were ready until closer to the time where he actually brought them in. So whatever the case is there, that had to take place largely over a transfer window, a winter break, that reorganisation of the team, the formation, the style of play, whatever. He does have the benefit this time if, again, going back to the discussion already had, if some funds are made available to him, we've got the transfer window for a few weeks yet, so he still has some scope, potentially, with the transfer window there to begin that remodelling if he comes to the conclusion that what he's doing at the moment isn't working and needs to be redressed or tried, something else tried instead of it. Or a plan B, whatever the case is. And I think that's what the club will do. The club will have seen that. I'm sure they'll be patient. They won't be jumping at the gun to make a change. I'm sure they'll give them a period of time. Quite rightly, there'll come a point if things don't change where I'm sure there'll be ultimatums made that, you know, progression has to be made, targets have to be achieved, but I don't think we're anywhere near that kind of point of discussion in the boardroom just as yet.
Andy, the next task for Stephen Robinson is to G the team up for a Europa League first round qualifying match against Glentoran. Glentoran overcame Tórshavn in their preliminary round qualifier on Thursday there, 1-0. This is a tie that Motherwell will be considered strong favourites for. Though, given our current form, there is a wee bit of trepidation setting in. I must admit, I'm kind of struggling to G myself up for this one, despite the fact that there's that excitement. And as Scott said earlier, 6 years without European football, it should be a massive occasion. But I think our spirits have been dampened somewhat by the start to the season. That being said, I would imagine come Wednesday night and then into Thursday, that excitement will begin to build. And we've got to look at this as a fantastic opportunity to progress. And then you go into the next round with a whole host of big clubs alongside you. So it's an exciting prospect. The most important thing, though, is just to deal with this tie and win. And I think with a wee bit to spare as well, a performance is required as well as a result.
Oh, definitely. I think at the start of the season, I was obviously, this is the tie I was looking forward to the most. Having been away from European football for that length of time, a number of years, and if you probably, if you look at it, it's probably one of our better draws that we've had in terms of being stronger favourites. Although we all know kind of what happened last time, we were strong favourites getting put out by Stjarnan. But I mean, I watched the Glentoran game against Tórshavn. It was on the BBC Sport website. I mean, the conditions were terrible, but from what I've seen, I know Irish football's have been to a great standard, but they didn't look terrible. I know their season's just started. I'm pretty sure that was their first game back, so they're going to be a bit off it, given we've been playing more games, albeit with a lesser performance. But you have to expect Glentoran to come to Fir Park and just sort of sit back. We'll, kind of like most of the other games this season, we'll have a lot of the ball, and it'll be down to us to sort of break down their defence and sort of go from there. Obviously, you've got Bigger Amana that plays with them, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has a great performance. But strong favourites. I was speaking to my pals. They said if any Scottish team would slip, it would be us. It probably would be, but I think we're due a performance. It's not as if we've been playing terribly. I know we can't score, but we play good football. And I think it's just a case of time where we will get that victory, and hopefully a couple of strikers can get a few goals against a so-called lesser tie. And then from that, if we get the win, we can sort of kick on from there, which is what I'm hoping for.
Scott, I caught up with Gail Bigramana at the weekend there. I mean, he's very much relishing the prospect of getting back to Fir Park. A player that really didn't hit the heights, or given his pedigree that he had as well. He had appearances for Newcastle United in the English Premiership. He did well with Coventry City as well. I'm sure he scored the winning goal in their Chequered Trade Trophy victory, or the Football League Trophy, or whatever it's called. The Paintbrush Trophy, I'm not sure. So he came with a wee bit of a reputation, but he never really got going at Fir Park. He played a bit part. I noticed that he made 57 appearances, but a lot of them came from the bench. He would kind of play three or four games and then drop out for quite a prolonged spell. Never really quite got going. And from there, he's been at Hibs, where he only had one substitute appearance. Then it was Solihull Moors. And then eventually, he's finally found a home at Glentoran. They won the Irish Cup at the end of last month. Then, as Andy already mentioned there, that's the first game back was the Europa League game. So they'll be a wee bit behind in terms of preparation for this one as well. It's, as I said, but Aki's felt like a must-win Saturday. This is very much a must-win game.
100%. And I think the thing about Biggie is probably testament to what Andy said earlier on about Chris Long having the kind of a negative persona, if you like. He just doesn't look he's much of a personality, whereas Biggie was the exact opposite, and I think that gave him that wee bit of extra time, and the fans kind of took to him. He's obviously a big personality, seemed a cracking guy to, you know, having spoken to him recently. He just, don't know, his personality seemed to give him that wee bit of extra patience with the fans, but he never, as you say, he never really had a few kind of great games, but was one of the players that, put it this way, I wouldn't want him in the team now. When things are going bad, he never really seemed to hit the heights, and I think the way that his career's progressed is testament to that. But funnily enough, that I have got a horrible feeling that if anything's going to go wrong, it'll go wrong, and he'll pop up in the last minute to score a goal. Or something crazy like that will happen, but hopefully that's just my negative chain of thought at the moment. But it certainly is. It has to be a must-win. If we go and get beat, get put out with Glentoran, I mean, just look at what happened to Killie last season. They never got over that, and getting beat with Connors Key or whoever it was they got beat with. they never got over that, and the manager never got over that and lost his job kind of two or three months into the season, probably off the back of that. Now, let's not kid ourselves, we should be getting out here and absolutely scudding this team without any problems whatsoever. And it's a good opportunity for us. Because let's not forget that we've not had this pre-season where we've went and played a team where we've able to score 3, 4, 5 goals. And that's fully what I expect in Thursday night. I'll be disappointed if we don't rattle a few goals in, get the confidence up. It's just a pity that we're playing Celtic away from home on the Sunday. But this is a great opportunity for guys like Jordan White, even Jake Hastie coming on. As you say, we've got the advantage. We've got a team that looked at their stats for last season and they were Iorek, they won the cup, but they've not been great. We should be going out and absolutely hammering this team. Players that need that wee confidence boost, hopefully this kickstarts it. But let's not hope that it ends up getting ruined by the trip on the Sunday. Let's use the no fans at Celtic Park to our advantage. But again, it's weird this season. The only player that you would say would definitely start would be Turnbull. Gallagher, obviously, because he's the captain. Carson, the rest, I don't know. O'Donnell would probably be one of the first names in the team sheet, although he didn't have his greatest game against Accies. But certainly... Alan Campbell, 100%. The only thing that come back ever so slightly is I think the manager's substitutions have been a bit suspect, and that's probably down to the fact that we've got that bit of option. I think he needs to look at that and think, why am I having to make so many different changes? Why am I not getting the first 11 correct? What's going on here? Are we trying to fit players into positions that don't suit them? I think that's the issue. But come back to this game, we've got to go out there and at least be kind of 2-3, 2-0. I would be disappointed, but I think we should be going out and looking to hammer this team and get the season off to a start, because it's not started yet, let's be honest.
And does the fact that Stephen Robinson knows Glentoran well, he's friends with their manager as well, I think that will avoid the situation where the opposition are in any way overlooked. He'll give them the respect they deserve, and hopefully that doesn't constitute over-respecting them. But I don't think that we'll be going into this game with an attitude that it's just a case of turning up. And our performances already this season tells us that we need to be on it, and we need to just kind of remove some of these cobwebs. If we get an early goal and a confidence boost, I think we could go on to have quite an easy night. Though if it is the case that they sit in and frustrate us, and maybe if the game goes an hour or even longer without a goal, it would become nervy. And that's when the only point that I really have any worries about is if we don't score in the first half. I think the fear then begins to kind of creep in.
I was just going to say I agree. I think Robbo said that he's worked with 70% of the players, didn't he, in a previous interview. So you can believe that he's going to be telling them the whole team in training exactly what these boys are all about. So that could only be an advantage. But again, what you said there, Andy, is if it gets to half-time and it's goalless, the heads start dropping. Do they have what it takes to sort of go and get an early goal in the second half and maybe get another two or three more? I think the game will be sort of within the first 25 minutes. If we get a goal, I fully expect us to go and get another two or three. But if it doesn't, it could be a challenge for the players to sort of show their mettle and sort of dig deep and get that expected win, being heavy favourites. I'm sorry.
And Andy Peary, I don't think we know how we're going to watch the game yet, do we? I know it's broadcast live in Premier Sport, but have the club announced how they're going to be showing the game?
Grant had posted something in Steelman Online earlier today that they weren't able to do announce anything officially yet, but they were fairly certain that they would be able to watch it through club channels as well as the Premier Sports coverage.
Well, that's certainly good news. I must admit, I actually took Premier Sport last week because I noticed I'd been paying for La Liga TV for the last 3 and a bit months, so it only cost me an extra £2 to add it on, so that was a wee bit of a stroke of luck. The streaming service on Saturday, I must admit, mine started to go in the last 15-20 minutes. They didn't update the scoreboard as well, which I did appreciate, but I feel that we were in denial about the result somewhat. Though it must be said that listening to Jock Brown doing the commentary continues to be a real joy. It kind of takes you back to the early 90s and sports scene on a Saturday night, doesn't it?
The only thing with Mainz was, I don't know about you guys, but I felt as if Mainz was a good few seconds, maybe 3 seconds behind the commentary. It was out of sync with the play again.
I think it was about 5 or 6 minutes into the game. It was as if something clicked and you could the sentence was repeated, and it happened a couple of times, and I think, as you say, it was just enough to knock.
It was like
not the sound, just enough, so it was like your shots were going by the post, and suddenly you were, oh, close, or whatever the commentary, whatever the line of choice was at the time. But yep, I had to.
You ever thought to take up commentary, Andy? That was quite.
As an Archie McPherson woof there.
Well, that was that. You sounded realistic there.
Well, let's hopefully it won't be going by the post on Thursday night. We've got plenty of goals and progress into the next round. Well, we'll not talk about the Celtic game any more than we already have, because it's kind of based on what happens on Thursday, what mindset will go into that game. But this has been as enjoyable as talking about a defeat to Hamilton can possibly be. I maybe feel a wee bit more optimistic and feel like I'm looking forward to Thursday night, just that little bit more than I was before we came on. Guys, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having us on.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you. Goodbye. Since I found a medicine jar, now I can ignore all my troubles. I don't think I have the heart. This weed is crippling, this weed is crippling me. It's the same old story. This weed is crippling, this weed is crippling me. This one.